CrossPolitik begins in 3, 2, 1.
I have a heart that breaks for a dying city.
Stop cursing your future.
Is not true.
For all intents and purposes, I am a woman.
No government, no political system has ultimate supremacy. Jesus is King of Kings, and it's about time our nation returned in humble submission to his lordship.
You are not protecting women. You are authorizing the destruction of 500,000 little women every year.
Oh, but that's,
I didn't start it.
But sir, with all due respect, that's the argument of a five-year-old.
I didn't start it.
Right, when the Spirit comes upon people, they go to war. They go to battle, and the enemies of God are driven back, and they're slaughtered.
You are listening to CrossPolitik with Gabe Retsch, the Water Boy, Pastor Toby Sumter, and the Chocolate Knox.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year, everyone. Hope you guys had a good Christmas.
Chocolate's dying.
Yeah. Can't handle real tobacco.
Oh, what are you guys smoking over there?
This is the real stuff, the way God made it.
Oh, yeah.
This opening segment is brought to you by what kind of tobacco you got over there, Toby?
Oh, man. I don't even know what it's called. It's the stuff from the corner market.
Mine is Borkum bourbon whiskey.
Hold on. Time out. I'm sorry. What did you say?
The corner market.
You got some tobacco from the corner market.
Yeah, they only sell one kind of tobacco, pipe tobacco.
Uh-huh.
And I go in there and get it occasionally.
You ain't getting no vanilla.
No.
Yeah, you ain't getting, okay. That's you ain't getting no bourbon. Kind
of, it's like called Q1.
Oh, yeah, I know that stuff.
You know that one?
That's pretty decent.
Yeah,
okay.
It's a decent.
I'm going to get on. You're like, hey, man, we're post-mill, man.
Yeah.
Shaboing boing, man. We want the good stuff, bro.
Hey, speaking of being post-mill,
yeah.
I got to bring up something with you. I got to confront you.
Oh, no.
Come on now.
What is this?
What are you drinking?
This is some Puckers.
what color is that Puckers?
It's like green apple.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. There's nothing.
Sour
there
apple
is nothing post millennial about that.
Mm-mm. No, yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No.
definitely post millennial. Let me tell you why.
Hey, I've been talking to a couple of our listeners about getting a whiskey label. We need a whiskey label. Get rid of this Pucker stuff.
Seriously,
and get a whiskey label. CrossPolitik whiskey.
Seriously.
Look, I'm totally for that, but I want a Chocolate Knox Pucker brand.
No.
This is
I'm putting my foot down.
No. We have green apples. Green apples are on trees.
Yeah, and you're supposed to eat them.
Or you can make apple juice, green apple juice.
Sure,
come on, man.
But you don't mess up some kind of hard liquor with all that sugar.
Oh, come on.
That's what Baptists drink.
No, when Baptists don't drink.
I know. That's my point.
Are you trying to say? No, okay, all right. You know what?
That's
I'm
what
gonna
I'm
sit here and
because it's like my kids. You know when they had their first. She's rubbing it in.
I couldn't hear you over the wonderful taste of this Puckers.
You know, someone who hasn't been brought up to enjoy like good wine, and then they go to church that serves wine for communion, and then like they're sitting there like, you know, gross.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You're like, no, that's. I mean, you know, sometimes there's bad wine, but
I do want to bring up to everybody that in the studio I do have a nice liquor selection.
It's true.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
That is true.
Yeah, I
it's
don't just
true.
Have Puckers. Okay, so yes. Just before I get a whole bunch of memos, which you can give at
CrossPolitik.
Yeah,
memo
at CrossPolitik.com. Yeah. I have a nice selection up there.
You do.
That you're actually drinking from
right
true.
Now. It's true. And yeah, Gabriel
yeah.
and I.
Yeah. All right. Now,
we got some Templeton rye.
From now, look, you can drink Puckers from a plastic cup, but you do not drink this good bourbon from a plastic cup, Mr. Wrench.
Mm. Yeah, but Gabriel is wearing overalls.
Christmas overalls, by
He's
the way.
He's wearing overalls, you guys.
I requested these for Christmas.
Oh, no.
And my mother-in-law bought them for me.
Your wife didn't buy them for you, though, did you?
No, she didn't.
None, yep. That's why. Right.
And what's your wife think
and,
about
and
those?
And my wife was like, are you going in the studio dressed like that?
I just want to know right now, does a cow come with that shirt?
I was like, I got 10 acres. I'm a boutique farmer.
You're trying to relive the glory years of Texas as much as you can, aren't you? It's okay.
Man.
We forgive you. Happy New Year's, guys.
Happy New Year's.
Hey,
so this is still Christmas, you know.
Well, yes.
Right?
According to the church.
That's why
which
we're
is what we care about.
That's why I got my pipe out this
oh,
time.
Oh, okay.
You know,
I'm vaping.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Again, that's consistent with the sour apple.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, I can have any flavor
you know,
in my vape I like, you know,
yeah.
Bourbon.
Yeah.
Hey,
you know,
it has glass
Gabriel,
tank.
The grace
Gabe.
Of God, the grace of God doesn't address all of our sins right away.
Yeah.
It's patient with us.
We work sanctification.
So, you know,
there.
A little bit at a time, we're going to love on our brother and
that's
and,
a
pray over Chocolate Knox.
Don't forget you guys are drinking my bourbon.
How did y'all's Christmas Day go? How did Christmas Day go for you guys?
Great. It was church.
Man.
It was Sunday. We got to worship.
My kids were sick.
Oh, they were?
Yes.
Yours too?
It was brutal.
Who are you guys hanging out with? So we not hang out with those people anymore.
The week before Christmas, my washer and dryer break. Mm-mm. Okay. And this is where the overalls come in. My horse's water froze up. So we had to figure out how to unfreeze the horse's water. And then my kids got sick. And so we missed the December 24th church service and Sunday morning church service.
Yeah, that was horrible.
It was a little depressing. Mm. Yeah.
I don't like missing church.
But my kids had a great time opening presents sick. They did great. So, they pulled through.
So far, we've avoided all the plagues.
Mm. Oh, that's good.
I keep hearing about the plagues. Mm-hmm. I see it on Facebook. You know, everybody's, commiserating, you know.
I just want to speak to you out there, these wonderful people who you fellowship with, who think it's okay to bring your children or yourself to a gathering sick. Could you please do us a favor? Don't show up.
Don't.
I mean, we'll send you a letter. I'll do whatever you need. I'll bring you some food. But I have 5 children and a pregnant wife.
You know what those kids do, though? You know, they're like sharing candy canes.
Yeah. Sippy cup.
You know, they got the common candy cane going on. Just lick it. Try this one.
That's
try this
so
one.
Real. No,
they're passing the peace with the candy cane.
Oh, yeah, man. Oh, man. Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah.
No, we had a great time. We did well. We had fun. We had a great celebration. Christmas Eve, did church, had some family and friends over, enjoyed that. And then Sunday morning, did the presents. My wife wanted to get up early. Mm-hmm. So we could just kind of knock it out.
Yeah.
And so the kids were very faithful to make sure we were up early. Wow. So you can imagine. Mm-hmm.
So here's the question. Did people show up at your church?
Yeah.
Were people there? That was
good. You guys did the early service. You guys are 9.
Well, we did 9:30.
9:30.
Yeah. We had a 9:30 on Christmas Day. You could bump it later. My wife asked me about it. And, you know, we might another year. But over the holidays here, we got we're doing 3. We usually do 2 services, but over the holidays, there's so many people out of town and students are out of town and stuff like that we are just doing one service for 3 Sundays in a row. And we didn't want the time like bumping all over the place. Yeah, and our standard one service time that we do during the summertime is 9:30. So we just thought, simplicity's sake, just keep it simple. Yeah. Keep it simple. So, but it was full.
What did you preach?
Full service. The conspiracy of grace.
Oh, I'm in. Okay, wait. I know we got to do news. You got 60 seconds. Go.
What?
Go.
I said the grace is the greatest conspiracy because it tricks us. It has to trick us. If we think we've got grace figured out, we think we've got God figured out, then it's not grace. And so I just sort of told a short story. It's a pretty short sermon, pretty short homily for Christmas Day. But I just kind of talked about how walking through the whole story of redemption, God's grace shows up in the most unlikely places, in old men and barren women, in the poor and the orphan and the stranger and the fatherless. But just in case you might start seeing a pattern, it also shows up occasionally in palaces. Occasionally, you know, you have military victories. Mm-hmm. But the whole point is that God's
in Herod's household.
Hey, it's his sermon. Up. His sermon. Right. He's got.
I just wanted 20 more seconds. I just want to intrude.
Yeah. All the way down, of course, to a crisis pregnancy, a birth in a manger, the announcement to shepherds running from Herod, and this is God's favor. So grace is God's favor. His smile on humanity. And yet in the various places where we think this can't be it, that's it. Grace is something that I said you can't look at straight on.
Right.
You try to look at it straight on in a certain way, and of course there is a sense in which you can look at things and you say this is the grace of God, but in another sense it's always it's fading though too. So you know these gifts that God gives, if you latch onto those gifts. Those gifts are going to fade away,
right?
Because ultimately, they're you can't look it straight on because it's ultimately God who is the great grace giver, and so grace is the greatest conspiracy coming for us.
Great. That was a little over 60 seconds, but I'll take it. That was good. That was good.
I did interrupt.
I am
with a really good point that was not acknowledged by you guys.
No. I'm just glad you didn't say anything with the manger. I'm just like let it go, Gabe. Let it go.
but
that's awesome. That's awesome.
We had a good week. So this is so Christmas is the first day of Christmas. You know, traditionally Christmas is 12 days.
I like this Christmas. Wait, do
12
I
days
buy
of Christmas.
12 days with the gifts.
You know, different people do it different ways.
Okay, okay.
We 1 year, I think we actually did try to have gifts spread out. Mm. We found that it didn't work very well.
Yeah.
It was a little tedious. There's a lot of fun in just opening a bunch of presents at once.
One time, yeah.
On Jesus' birthday.
On Jesus' birthday.
Anyway.
But what we've done, is what we try to do is we get a lot of food. Ooh. We get a lot of dessert.
I'm in. Something
and,
sweet.
And then we try to, yeah.
And we a little sour too.
Not like that. But then we try to plan activities. And so like we do dinners with friends and we do like yesterday we went to a rec center together as a family. We did rock climbing, we did swimming. Sometimes we go ice skating for, you know, an afternoon. We have one day that's just movie day. One day that's board game day. We just like play board games all day long. We try to plan it out, so we pace it out. This year is kind of weird, though, because of the way that the school year interrupts. So usually with the break, you can actually get most of the 12 days in out of, you know, with the school vacation.
Yeah.
But we're going back to school on the 2nd at Logos on Monday, which is still so Epiphany is Friday. That's the 12th day of Christmas.
Sixth.
Yep. So there we are. So we'll still do some stuff next week in the evenings and afternoons,
I was kind of thinking about this. You know, it seems like we start celebrating Christmas the first day of Advent, or really like the Sunday after Thanksgiving, whatever that is. Mm-hmm. Saturday, Sunday, we start setting everything up after Thanksgiving, and so we do something every night leading up to Christmas Day. Mm-hmm. Whether it's go movie night or same kind of thing, we'll hot chocolate one night, go sledding with the kids one night. And so we celebrate it, 25 days, 30 days, up to, and then we've talked about like the 12 days of Christmas and kind of celebrating after, and it we haven't quite figured out how to make that work because we got the first 25 days or 30 days. We're so excited; our kids love it.
That's why I think if you think of Advent as getting ready for Christmas,
yeah,
then you can be like celebrating,
yeah,
and you're getting ready and you're adding things, adding things, adding.
Yeah, that was very helpful when we talked about it in the show. Yeah,
getting
yeah,
ready, yeah. and then Christmas is sort of let it rip. You know, kind of thing. And some days it's just lazy pajama days, you know, lay around and, you're in pajamas all day. But there's a kind of like, learning to celebrate well there's a real art to it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's interesting in the Old Testament law, the Old Testament law gets all these this bad rap, but central to the law were these feasts,
right?
That the people of Israel were supposed to keep three times a year. They had these, these required feasts. Yeah. And Israel had such a hard time obeying God.
Those three feasts.
Like, I want you to party.
You got this? It's so hard,
yeah,
Lord.
And that's what he did, though. It's like, I want you to remember these things that I did for you when I brought you out of Egypt. And I want you to get together. I want you to celebrate. I want you to remember and party. And it's hard.
Yeah,
it's hard to be like to have the kind of because you have the world around you that's doing it in just sort of this binging,
disconnected way,
anarchic, just feeding my passions rather than a disciplined Christian celebration
that's focused on Christ.
And that's tons of fun too. It's celebrating God's good gifts.
Yeah,
and but it that does take work. I mean, Christmas trees die. that's the real trouble. You got to get a Christmas tree that at least when it's dead, you can't tell. Yeah. Right. So it can last all the way through.
That's why you have them sprayed.
Yeah, right.
You have them sprayed.
My wife keeps trying to convince me to get a fake one for that very reason. She's like, "But we could be more celebratory," and I'm like, "No, nice try.
I want the smell.
Nice try. Nice try.
I want that pine smell."
She's like, "But we can get that aerosol can." I said, "Nuh-uh.
Aerosol Christmas."
Yeah, right.
No.
So this is the what day of Christmas? Is it the fifth day of Christmas or sixth day of Christmas?
30th.
So we're at 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30. We're at the sixth day of Christmas.
If you count the 25th.
My true love gave
me. It's the first day. Tomorrow's the seventh day. Yeah. Sunday's the eighth day. This is dropping on Sunday, right? Yeah. So we're
this show will drop Sunday night.
Yeah. So, but this is in the middle of Christmas season.
Yeah, well, I appreciate when we were trying to do Trinity Fest a couple man, 5 years ago, 6 years ago?
Oh, yeah.
Chalk wasn't even here for that.
I wasn't here, no.
So we would block off downtown. We'd get city permits, block off downtown, and put jumpy castles in the middle of downtown, have a band there.
Really?
Oh, man, it was a lot of fun. It was connected to one of our conferences, or we tried to connect it to one of our conferences. And the whole idea was to celebrate the Trinity. It was a Trinity Festival is what we called it.
Yeah, and it was an attempt at doing this very thing. Yeah. Like, let's have a church festival, church feast, with, like, multiple days of just sort of
three days of partying.
So there's like a conference and there's a dance,
and then there's
one night,
a,
and there's a band
concert one concert. Night.
I mean, just like a bunch of stuff going on for the whole community.
Wow.
And
where was I at? That's a long time. I don't want to think about
that. But
that
was
Wow, that's awesome.
Anyways,
but it's hard. It's hard to do that.
Yeah, and that's why we stopped. I think.
Yeah, it's challenging. Yeah,
it takes a lot of planning. I was involved in the planning, doing it for free.
The whole idea, though, of the church calendar, you know, is the idea is that our days belong to Christ.
Amen.
Right? So that's the idea. And of course, in the late Middle Ages, the Roman Catholic Church, kind of went overboard. The demands that were, it became a yoke. It became a burden rather than a gift. But in the early days, I mean, the first 1,000 years of the church, the idea was time belongs to Christ.
Yeah.
Our days belong to Christ.
AD, BC,
exactly.
Of that,
right. We count everything from Christ.
Yeah.
And so every day belongs to him. And so we want to name it for him.
You know,
and so the Lord's Day, every Sunday, we name Sunday the Lord's Day because it's the day that Jesus rose from the dead.
And it's the first day of the week.
It's the first day
we're
of the week.
We're claiming it for the rest of the week.
But then it makes sense that, that then building off of that, given the wisdom of the Old Testament, God saying, I want you to remember the greatest things, and I want you to celebrate them. And I don't think it should be a rule, but the idea that we would celebrate then the birth of Christ, the life of Christ, the miracles of Christ, the suffering of Christ, the temptation of Christ, right? All of these
Easter,
things. And then, his suffering, his death, his resurrection, his ascension.
Right.
Pentecost. I mean, these are the great feasts of the church where we say time belongs to Christ. Mm. And you ask the question, what rules your time? What rules your days?
Is it the secular calendar?
Is it the secular calendar? Yeah. Is it the football calendar?
Is it Labor Day?
Is it NBA? What is it? And obviously you live in a particular culture, and there's going to be things that you're going to have to be
want to celebrate too.
It's part of.
Right.
But at the same time, you can still look, take a step back and say, what really governs my time?
Where do you go to find this church calendar? I mean, Google, if I know, is out there, but
there
has to be a bunch of different church calendars, the way people have modified them for themselves. But what's a good...
There's a lot of different resources out there from a lot of different points of view.
Yeah.
The challenge is that you've got, I think, some traditions that maybe keep the calendar the most have kind of gotten a little bit wound tight about it. And so it's a kind of a bummer because you're like, guys, I think that what we need an evangelical... Like deeply evangelical, like born again, love Jesus,
and Trinitarian church
calendar. But it's got to be robust enough that it's like, that means it's going to interrupt my life. Yeah.
Right.
It's going to affect my budget. It's going to affect my vacation schedule. It's going to affect these things because I want to make my whole life orient around the life of Christ.
Yeah.
I want to say as a resource, George Grant. You might have heard of him. He's a PCA pastor.
Mm-hmm. Tennessee.
He has a book actually called the Christian Almanac.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a whole year. It's every day of the year, and it's got tons and tons of things from church history in it, including Christian feasts. That might be a good place to stop.
I think we should start with you at this break, writing a calendar out for everybody so we can put it on the website.
Hey.
Have you working on that? And when we come back, Marcus Pittman is going to join us from Apologia Radio to talk about ending abortion now. I can't wait to talk to him about that. Here we go. Next on Cross Politics.
For 21 years and counting, New St. Andrew's College has sought to obey Christ's great commission to disciple nations and build him a house. Not just in Jerusalem, but throughout the world. Not with stones and mortar, but with living stones. We build and fight. This is the task of a Christian liberal arts college, to equip students with the tools to build and fight. And this is our joyful task as we seek to graduate leaders who shape culture through wise and victorious living. To learn more, check us out online at nsa.edu/explore.
Canon Press is a publishing house located in Moscow, Idaho. At Canon Press, we create and provide products that sketch a vision of the whole life, a whole culture, a life full of beauty, tradition, education, community, laughter, and celebration, unashamed of Christ, and sharply at odds with the values of modernity. A mature culture with the church at the center, living out the good life, one family at a time. We believe our book, audio, and visual selections reflect this exciting life that God has given us under the sun. As the wisest man said, go eat your bread with joy and drink your wine with a merry heart, for God has already accepted your works. CanonPress.com. Welcome back to Cross Politic, y'all. Merry Christmas.
Happy New Year.
This is the sixth day of Christmas, and we are, well, you know, depending on when you're listening, seventh, eighth day of Christmas. But we got a special guest with us now, this segment, Mr. Marcus Pittman from Apologia Radio.
King Ginger.
Hey, welcome, Marcus.
Hey, I'm the first guest to be on twice, right?
Oh, that's right.
Yep.
Yes.
Don't let it go to your head. Yeah. Calm down.
who gave him that data point?
He's also the first guest of 2017.
That's true.
Right. That's right.
It's good. That's
for a very important reason.
For the record, though, we did let Gabriel come back several times.
They did. They let me keep the name host of the show.
So in case our listeners aren't aware. Apologia Studios is doing something very radical, and they've had this idea for a long time. But after the election of Donald Trump, I think almost all the pro-life Christians, it wasn't just his election that caught our attention. It was that we have the House and the Senate now, right?
Yep. They're both going to be Republican.
They're both going to be Republican. And I don't think that the pro-life movement has probably been this fired up in its history. To see some change happen, some real change happen, to even the possibility of ending abortion in our generation. And yeah. Apologia Studios right now is campaigning to do just that. And so, Marcus, right now I'm on your website, and you guys are looking at a three-part, what do you call it, a Trinitarian type attack. Is that right? The way I look at it is you're looking at, first it's starting from the churches, and then the churches and people are going out, and then you're going to flood the media from the members of the church. And then from there, we're hoping that we create enough hype that, look, I'm on board, bro. I'm saying us. That we move to actual legislation reform in our culture. And so I just I want you just to kind of expose just really the game plan from the beginning, what you guys are trying to do, and then just touch on all three of those different aspects of our victory. I'm already naming and claiming it. In Jesus' name, we're gonna
do this in 2017.
I want you to touch on all three of those different aspects of our victory, from mobilizing and equipping the church, flooding the media, and then the legislation reform.
Right. So the first one is equipping and educating the church and getting the church involved. Because I think what we saw with, like, David Daladin was once the press started talking, stopped talking about it, nobody even cared anymore.
Right.
Because I don't think the churches were really mobilized, because they were kind of like, what do we do? What do we do? And they went out one time, and, you know, they didn't really have the ability to, like, keep that up. And so even if they wanted to, there wasn't really the plan in place to continue that. And so, that's the main thing. And so to do that, we're going to, fly in a bunch of pastors on our dime, that are interested, that want to set up abortion ministries at their church. And we're going to just walk them through the whole thing, man. Like, we're going to, you know, this is what abortion is. This is murder. We need to preach the gospel at the abortion clinics. And we want it to be ended and not regulated to death. And so we're going to show them how to do that. I believe it might even be on the job training. We probably go out to abortion clinic and stuff like that. So that's going to be really the key, because it's going to take pastors who are who want to fight abortion but just right. don't exactly know what to do and go over the laws, you know, like your rights and stuff like that, so that they can go and take that back to their church.
Yeah.
And so once that happens, I mean, that alone is going to save a lot of babies.
Yeah.
So because once you have churches in multiple cities out of the abortion clinic, it's going to save a lot of people and souls, too. A lot of people are going to hear the gospel because of that.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, one of the things. So if you're a pastor and look, Pastor Toby, you're a pastor.
Oh, yeah.
So you don't have a whole bunch of time. Like you are actually, you know, shepherding the flock,
right.
You're dealing with all sorts of different things. You might not be able to actually go out to Arizona, but you have laymen there, right?
Yeah.
You have deacons. Someone from your church can go.
Sure.
And actually have a ticket paid for them to be there. And so they can start, right?
Yeah, and they can bring it back to our
educated,
community.
Right, and get equipped. And Marcus, one of the things that I noticed from when you were doing Babies Are Murdered here, which you can find on YouTube, was and I'm not saying this to be rude, but just how ignorant we were of actually how to do ministry at abortion clinics.
Right.
You know, it seemed like...
Yeah, I don't think anybody really realized that was like a big thing that was even happening before Babies Are Murdered here.
What was it that they were trying to figure out? What was it that they didn't know? What were some of the main things that Apologia is going to be teaching for pastors?
Well, I think one is like the language we use at the abortion clinic is critical. Mm-hmm. And so, and understanding the role of the mother mm-hmm. who is going into the clinic. She's not a victim, but she is about to commit a crime. Mm-hmm. And so that's a different level of engaging with the discussion, I think, because it holds them responsible for what they're about to do. Whereas a lot of like the Catholic pro-life movement treats them as a victim, so that they have if they're a victim, they have an excuse.
Yeah.
So we want to hold them accountable, and that way, at the very least, even if they don't save the baby and they kill the baby, they heard what they're about to do, and hopefully the guilt of that will bring them to repentance later.
Mm.
So it's not just about saving the baby. It's about saving that woman's soul if she kills the baby. Mm. So that changes a lot. Like, it's about changing the conversation. So, which brings me to media.
Yeah. And just real quick before you jump on that, I think the liberals have understood this a lot better than the church has for many years, which is that those who get to name things, the people who get to tell the story, the people who control the narrative tend to control what happens. And so,
so
it's really, really, really important that Christians work hard at naming things accurately, naming it according to the Word of God.
That's right.
And telling the story, the narrative, accurately, rather than allowing for euphemisms or other things to cover it up. Because what we're actually doing is we're actually giving away the story. We're giving away the narrative when we don't actually name it accurately.
Let me ask a question here. What's the difference between, because at some level, she's always committing a crime. That's always happening. But there's also there are in some sense women who are victims in this.
Sure.
The family's putting pressure on her. The boyfriend's putting pressure on her. Everyone's telling her, you need to do this
I told you this about our story with our doctor when we had the preemie pregnancy.
Yeah.
And there's this, you know, this old gentleman who looks like a grandpa.
Right.
Know, right. Saying, you really won't consider abortion. She's probably going to have brain damage. She's probably going to have, be mentally retarded. She's probably going to have, you know, some kind of downs or, you know, some kind of problem.
Mm-hmm.
You sure you don't want to consider this? And even though we never wavered for an instant, we came away saying, wow, if we had been a single mom, a teenager,
the pressure of
you know, the pressure of this man who, you know, who's a doctor and he's in a white
coat. Position of authority.
And he's trying to explain to you why it might be better. It would be better to do this. I do think that's a mitigating element of the circumstances,
uh-huh.
though it doesn't completely exonerate
the woman,
the mother, who's right. ultimately still responsible for the life that's look, within her.
I know Marcus can vouch for this, and he'll probably jump in here as soon as I'm done too. But when you go out there and you're standing in front of that abortion clinic, you're not dealing with someone who's usually facing that type of situation, right? Most of the time,
most of the time, they're twerking in front of you and laughing about what they're about to do.
They've done it more than once.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
and so
yeah, oh yeah, and they'll tell you how many they've killed and stuff. So, I mean, you do see people who are, like, you'll see teenagers with right. a mom go in,
yeah, or grandma yeah, right.
and
yeah.
stuff like yeah. that. And I think it's important to remember, even in those instances, like, they still sin to get pregnant, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
right, like
yeah.
they still fornicated or whatever. So they're still. Like responsible, even for the
what led up to those events.
Family is causing them.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Well,
go ahead.
I was just thinking. You know, we want to be biblical in our language. We want to be biblical in our terminology, but we also want to be biblical in understanding everything that's at play.
Yeah,
with that woman going into the abortion mill.
Yeah. Granted. Yep. Absolutely.
Right.
And I was thinking, I guess part of the what else is influencing my thoughts here is this is connected to the bigger issue, I think, of what's going on within abortion now. If in 2017, this should be a big prayer and emphasis of us, the church, what you guys are doing, Apologia. I think this we have an opportunity in 2017 to really make some strong moves towards this with the Republican House, Senate, et cetera, all that stuff. But I also think, if the church was signing the legislation, was part of the sign the legislation process, and that they could end abortion now, and they could hit the easy button and end it now, I think the church would be scared of that moment.
Well hold on. Before I want Marcus to get through the three steps first.
Okay.
And Marcus, you might have to stick around for one more segment, because I think Gabe and I were talking about this earlier. I want to hit that, because I think there's something special there.
Okay, let's
But I really want to hear their strategy right now. Marcus, we're talking about number two now. So we got to equip the church. We got to get the church involved. There is no ending abortion without the church. Hands down. Have to have the church. What's step two?
Step two is controlling the media and the conversation, using Facebook Live and all the new technology that we have to create, essentially, we're calling it a media infrastructure that will continue the narrative and force the goal is to hopefully force the secular news to have to pay attention to what's happening with abortion in our country and respond to us, even if they disagree. But it's to keep that conversation in the mainstream,
because no one's speaking for us in the mainstream right now. There's no one speaking for us.
Not Fox.
Well, where was the talk of abortion during the debates this year?
Yeah, that was gone.
It was very, very absent. Minor.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, not even. I think came up a little bit in the Republican nomination process.
Yeah.
But that was it.
It came up in one debate with Trump and Hillary, because Trump came out and said,
one time.
He did. It was
one
time.
Okay.
Marcus, how are you guys planning to do that?
Yeah, how do we do that?
So one thing is, I mean, right now, I think it's kind of amazing what we're doing right now is we're just live streaming all day, like abortion content on our Facebook page. And we've got like thousands and thousands of views.
Hundreds of
thousands. People are just watching all day. Yeah. So it's like, we have our own TV network. I was just talking to Jeff today and I was like, you know, I've aired content every day this week for several hours and hardly repeated our abortion content. Like, we could do a 24-hour network easily now.
And
we don't need to go through the FCC or anything like that. And so part of what we're doing is we're going to build a new studio, and we're going to have live programming. Starting out once a week, we're going to have a live news show that's dedicated towards the Christian worldview, politics, and with a focus on ending abortion in their country.
Now,
so that's going to be one of the main things, is really just creating content all the time for people to share and promote. Because all we got to do is share stuff. We shared the Dowden videos and
that went crazy.
All the media.
That's one thing I wanted to get on is that while we're creating the infrastructure for that, people have to share. Like, we will get up there and we will share a meme that has no life importance or impact, then we will share the heck out of it. It will go around the world, 4 million views on it. And then something that is really important, we just kind of say, oh, we'll like it. Like, I don't think people really understand the impact of sharing something, even if you don't comment on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I've been saying that, like, the abortion content that we're sharing has inspired a lot of people to get out on the street and go to abortion clinics. So, literally, like, just clicking the share button can save lives. So, like, it's, you know, that's a form of evangelism. I was with my, my church in Newport News last night, and I was meeting with their elders and their media team and discussing with them ways that they can use media in their local church to affect the local community. And I was just like, look, man, like, this is the evangelism of our day. You know, you street preach every time you hit the upload button.
Right.
So
that's right. So, preach, brother.
Yeah.
It's the book of Acts on Facebook.
Okay, Marcus, we're gonna come back with you, but before we end this segment, how is the church getting involved, being able to push this content out through media, getting people sharing it, making the actual media, the news nations, that's almost right, making the news networks pay attention? How does that move us to legislation and reform and getting abortion illegal?
Because it applies pressure to the legislators that this is something that a majority of people want to happen.
Mm.
So it's sort of like, so the media right now operates as a democracy in the sense where the liberals who control the media are making it seem as if everybody wants gay marriage, everybody wants to deny gender.
Right.
So, but that's not really true. And so there's not really like a balance. There's not really a way to balance the position of the flyover states. And so the internet allows us to equalize that. And so once there's a major vocal network that can really push that agenda and people can see it and go, oh, finally, this is the kind of media that I've been waiting for.
Right. This is what
they
stand behind.
Share that. And then the legislators know, okay, there's people, you know, that really are, you know, going to kick me out of office if I don't do what they want.
But isn't part of this, Marcus, is kind of like forgetting about the media. It's like going around the media. It's creating your own, like you said earlier, it's creating your own live network on Facebook. And it's like, forget the media. They aren't going to help, right? So let's go around them. And who cares what their democracy is voting for right now or not that they think is good media? It's like, let's just create our own.
Right, exactly. Because I think we learned in this past election that Alex Jones was getting more views than CNN.
Yeah.
You know, and he's
right.
I mean, he's a big deal, but he's like the fringe.
Right.
Right. So if the fringe is able to get more views than CNN, you know, that means there really hasn't been a major push by the church at all for any major media, because I mean, I think we can do it really quickly.
Yeah, the fact that Trump gets elected and every major media network, if you're watching on election night, and they're all like jaw dropped, just like glazed over, like what happened, just tells you that they are completely disconnected, and there are already other networks at work, and the church needs to capitalize on this moment.
Woo, there's more of this when we come back.
So, hold on,
Marcus. We're going to come back with some more. So if you got time to hang around, we're going to talk about this a little more. I think there's some implications from the church, the legislation we want to talk about. And we want to tell Gabe how wrong he is. The church wants to end abortion. More next on Cross Politic.
This is Cy Timbrunke with Answer Anyone Apologetics. People often ask for a methodology for defending their faith. So I've come up with what I like to call the two-move checkmate. Step one, no matter what objection they give that contradicts the Bible, tell them this: that's not what the Bible says. I don't believe Noah's Ark was real. That's not what the Bible says. I don't believe that Jonah was in a big fish for 3 days. That's not what the Bible says. I don't believe that Jesus ever walked the earth. That's not what the Bible says. No matter their objection, that's not what the Bible says. What are they going to say? I don't believe your Bible. that dusty old book written by Bronze Age goat herders? Of course, to that an appropriate response would be, so what? Instead, I give them step two. You don't believe my Bible? So you don't believe that it's true? Well, obviously you believe in truth. So let me ask you this. Where do you get truth without God? Then you dismantle the absurdity of their response. Step one, that's not what the Bible says. Step two, where do you get truth without God? For more apologetic answers, visit www.proofthatgodexists.org.
Chocolate Knox is doing the End Abortion Now dance.
We can do it!
In the Cross Politics Studios.
Hey!
So, during the first segment, I mentioned George Grant.
Yes.
And then we got Marcus on, and then it suddenly something clicked, and I remembered something. This Sunday, so we're talking about church calendar.
Yes.
This Sunday, on the church calendar, it's the second Sunday of Christmas, actually, but it's also the Sunday in which the church has historically celebrated what's called Childermass, which is the Sunday that solemnizes the slaughter of the children of Judea by King Herod following the birth of Jesus. This is the Sunday, and this is what George Grant actually posted this yesterday on Facebook. He said, Childermass, the Sunday following Christmas, solemnizes the slaughter of the children of Judea by King Herod following the birth of Christ. It has traditionally been a reminder of the Christian church's commitment to protect and preserve the sanctity of human life, thus serving both as a prophetic warning against infanticide and abortion and as a provocation to repentance in the face of such unmitigated evil.
Wow.
So this show is actually going to be dropping Sunday night, which is that Sunday, in which the Christian church throughout the world for the last 20 centuries, roughly, has actually set apart this Sunday. You know, there's Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, and there's other Sundays that the modern church has also set apart. But this is one of the more historically rooted Sundays in which the church remembers that even at the birth of Christ, little babies were killed. Mm. And Jesus was born into that. And the church remembers that, the fact that those little ones that lost their lives. Mm. They're saints. They're martyrs.
Amen.
They're victors, they're heroes, and when we celebrate them, we also remember and we celebrate all the other little ones that have lost their lives unjustly. And we stand against that.
Yeah.
And we ask God to end it. I think one of the important things, too, about all of this that's, I think, connected to the church being at the center of this is that all of these other things are important. Sharing on Facebook,
yep.
Bringing pressure to bear on the media and on the legislatures and that's so right. on. But, of course, the reason why the church is so important is that we recognize that our power is in the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our power fundamentally is in the Holy Spirit, and that means that it's the preaching of the gospel, it's the celebrating of the sacraments, it's singing your hearts out to God. That we are asking God fundamentally to end this.
Yeah.
But just like everything else that the people of God do out throughout the centuries, they, you know, God says, "Go to the Red Sea, and I'm going to stand there and watch."
Yeah.
And when the enemies of Israel are coming down, they stand there and they're terrified. They think this is not working. And God says, no, stand there and watch. Our job is to be obedient. So you share, you preach, you
go to the clinics.
You go to the clinics, you write the letters to your legislators, you make all this go, but you recognize that none of it adds up to the end of abortion.
That's
unless
right.
the Holy Spirit changes people's hearts.
That's right.
That's why the church has right. to be at the center of this.
Yeah.
It's going to be that kind of victory. At the end of it, we're not going to be able to look back and say, oh, look what we did.
That's right. Come on now.
We're going to look back and we're going to say, look at what God did. Right?
Hey, well, that organ came in right in time.
Sorry.
Do y'all not use the church organ anymore?
Oh, Marcus, I just played it. You couldn't hear it. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you couldn't hear it.
But me and you are thinking just to like, you know, that's why one of the things I really loved about what Apologia is doing, there are other ministries out there that have that are pro-life ministries. But one thing that I noticed that a lot of them lack is a centrality of the church. there is no victory in ending abortion or anything that we're doing if, like you said, the Holy Spirit isn't involved, if our churches aren't engaged in this process. And one of the things that I've noticed is that parachurch ministries, I prefer they come out of the church.
Sure.
That's my goal. That's my heart. And so Apologia is kind of has that wonderful merger, right, where they have a pastor who's running the parachurch ministry on the site. And it's coming back and saying, hey, our church should be doing this. You know, this loop that's happening. And yep. I love that. And I think I want them to be like a virus.
Right.
Because, and affect other churches around them. You
because
know?
Parachurch organizations that are disconnected from the church ultimately just become special interest groups.
And that's what I've seen.
And that's important to recognize that we're not just another special interest group.
That's right.
We are the colonization of the world for the kingdom of God. Right? So every church is a kingdom outpost. Yeah. And every time we meet together as the people of God and we say, Jesus has done something to change the course of history. And here we bow our knees and our heads to the Lord. And then we walk out of there with his blessing to take that blessing to our streets.
Amen.
Yeah.
Right?
Amen.
I think the other
and the other thing is too that we can easily overcome objections from the pro-choice movement. When they talk about, oh, well, are you going to adopt all these babies? We can be like, yeah, we'd love to bring them into covenant.
Yeah.
we'd love to baptize them.
Yeah, we'll bring them in.
So, Jake, cover your ears. Jake, cover your ears.
We adopt them. Or, yeah. You know, if you're Presbyterian, you'll baptize them, too.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
It's absolutely right. So, it's absolutely right, though, because that's exactly right. We are a family.
That's right.
That we will take the children.
Yeah,
we will do the foster care.
Yes,
we will do the adoption, and this goes back to Gabe's point. Are we ready to push the button?
Right, that's what I was going to get to.
Right,
right, right.
Are we going to push the button? Because it will mean that we will
change.
You got to be all in.
We have many, many children then that we will need to care for.
Yes,
and single moms and broken families.
But this goes back to what you said. What's the highest commodity on this planet right now?
People.
People are the highest commodity.
Right.
That's what we want.
Right.
We want the babies. We want the highest commodity on this planet.
Well, for the last 50 years in America, since Roe v. Wade, we've been flushing down the toilet, right? All of this creativity and beauty and glory that God has wanted to give us.
All these people.
Artists.
And we've been saying, no, Lord.
Yeah. These are artists, and these are novelists, and these are moms and dads, and these are school teachers and preachers and evangelists and car mechanics and astronauts.
And right? They're all made in the image of
they're
God.
They're made in the image of God. Yeah. And when they're welcomed and loved as the church is called to do, right? To care for
right.
the orphan and the widow in their distress. God blesses that. And what you find out, though, is it's going to be a crazy mess.
Yeah.
It's going to be a crazy mess.
Of course.
If you do any kind of ministry like this, foster care, mercy ministry, this kind of stuff, it's a mess. And that's when you know that the only way this is going to succeed is if God is in it.
Yeah.
Right.
And if you don't feel that kind of desperation, something's wrong.
Mm.
That's how you know you need the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Amen.
But that's what we need.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
And we need to push the button.
So here's the thing. So we were talking about this early before you got here, Pastor.
Okay.
And Marcus,
you're talking behind my back.
You were late though. So let's not. I don't know. Just say you had a counseling session. I don't know if that'll fly because I know it's your day off.
On his day off.
I was playing a game with my son.
Okay.
Does that work?
Yep.
Highest commodity, bro.
Yeah.
Okay.
You win.
Image of God.
But Gabe said, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but Gabe said, I don't think abortion would end.
What I was saying was I don't think the church is ready to end abortion now. And I think if they were at the legislative table and they could press the easy button and sign the legislation to end abortion now, I don't think they have the faith to stomach the results of what would happen.
It's kind of like God trying to bring Israel out of Egypt. Mm-hmm. They're not ready for it.
Yeah.
They're like, we don't really want to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't, there's a, well, you know, okay, maybe I'm around the two spies that are
But here's part of the problem is we've been at this for 40 years, and all the legislative efforts have been kind of disconnected from the church for one thing.
Yeah, that's true.
And then secondly, the legislative efforts are like they're like negotiating things.
Yeah.
You know, oh, we'll do the heartbeat or we'll do 20 weeks or we'll.
Yeah, I agree.
And if they could get to the table with an end abortion now, and we've already seen this like in Oklahoma where you guys, Apologia interviewed the national
Right to Life
guy, yep, in Oklahoma, and he
even
admitted that he wasn't gonna sign or wasn't pushing for ending abortion.
I don't, but most of the Christians that saw that were confused and perplexed about what that was about. Yeah. I think a lot of them were. And here's the thing, babies are murdered here, to me, changed the this is a Marcus Pittman documentary. It changed how I viewed people who are in the pro-life movement. Mm-hmm. I think they're ignorant.
Yeah.
I think they're. This is a short story. Talking to a lady at a Christmas party a couple years back. She is at I want to call it the murder mill. She's at the murder mill every week. She's out there preaching every week, trying to save babies, trying to witness to people, get people saved. And I said, man, praise God for what you're doing, sis. One day abortion will end. And she looked at me and she belly laughed.
Yeah.
And she belly laughed. Now, listen, this is a woman who's out there every week preaching, talking to people. I mean, just giving her life for these people. And then the concept of abortion ending isn't real to her.
Yeah.
And I looked at her and I said, what's so funny?
What are you trying to do?
She's like, look, I'm just supposed to be out there. I'm supposed to be doing it, but I don't think it will actually end. And I looked at her and I said, somebody thought the same thing about slavery.
Yeah.
But I'm here now. Mm-hmm. You know, so don't. So I think that what.
Right. There was a Supreme Court ruling that said, right?
Right. Exactly. Right?
The Dred Scott case.
Yes.
Right. Right.
Yes.
And it was the law of the land. Right.
That's right.
That a black man couldn't have wasn't free.
Yeah. That's
it
right.
Didn't have the same rights as all the rest of the people. And people who say it's the law of the land, it's not going to change. What? What?
Yeah, my God works miracles. Yeah.
Well, I think my challenge there is for the church to want it to end, to trust in God.
I think they do.
And to be ready for it.
I think the church wants that. I believe that if you put an easy button in front of a person, a Christian person at a church, or the church itself, and say, if you hit that, would you be happy with abortion ending? They would hit it.
Yeah.
But they don't know where that button is.
Right. And, well, I also think though, I think maybe this is what you're getting at, Gabe. Is I also don't think they do really realize all that would entail. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they're afraid to push it. I think they push it, you know, because we're just a button pushing culture.
Right, right.
We're like, we got iPhones.
we're microwave culture, you know? Yeah. Instantaneous gratification kind of thing. I think this is the one danger that needs to be thrown out there with all of the, I agree with the whole point about share. Yeah. Use social media and so on. The one danger, of course, is that it's easy to sort of share a bunch of stuff and then
think
not,
you've done something.
I think you haven't actually interacted with people.
No, that's
and,
right.
And that's, again, where it comes back to the church. The church is a place where there's real human beings, flesh and blood.
That's right.
You know, people that dress differently than you, talk differently than you, think differently than you,
yep,
that you got to bump up against. You know, it's easy to be part of a church on the internet.
Yeah.
Right? You can log out.
Yeah. But that's why I like this. It's a three-part attack. It's
right,
a Trinitarian attack.
I think
it's one of three. And that's why the church is at the top of it.
I think that's really, really important. I think that's why. So you share. And then when you get the pushback from your liberal, you know, friend or neighbor or, you know, old college roommate, you got to engage.
Yeah.
Don't just share and then ignore them. You got to engage with the love of Christ, with the gospel.
Yeah. That's actually one of the reasons why I really like this campaign is because I looked at the media and I looked at the legislation and then I say none of those are going to get touched,
right,
if it's not first coming from the church, because it takes people to engage people,
right,
to affect legislation and both media, which involve people.
Right.
But the church people have to go out and touch other people.
Right.
And that's, you know, that's kind of the key thing, which is kind of amazing. If the church was acting more like the church, we'd probably be further along, but I think there's a revival that's happening. Right. I really believe that.
I think the fact that we've got this going on from Apologia is a testimony of that. That we're like, you know, I can't remember a major pro-life movement in my lifetime that
was like being led by the church.
That was like self-consciously, like right up there up front saying, this is not going to succeed unless the church owns this.
Yeah.
Unless the church owns this, it's not going to succeed. That's really, really crucial.
So Marcus, obviously, if we're doing this, it's going to take some money.
Yes.
What is the first step? What are you guys trying to do? How much do you need to raise in order for this to become a reality?
So we had a guy contact us, and he said that he was going to match all donations up to $125,000.
Oh, praise God.
Yeah.
Wow. So, way to go. Praise God for that man.
Yeah, seriously.
Way to go.
Seriously.
Way to go, sir.
Yeah. So I think it's important to mention that a lot of people can be involved in fighting abortion just by running their business well.
Come on now.
Yeah,
wait, hold on. Wait,
that's
right. I got an organ here for you. Wait, hold on. Run your business well.
Wait. So explain that, Marcus.
Yeah, explain the
run
the
your business well. What do you mean? What do you mean? What does running your business well have to do with abortion? In abortion now.
Well, you know, it takes money to be able to create media and to be able to buy the camera equipment and hire people and it doesn't take as much money.
Right.
So if you look at like TBN's tax returns, they spend millions of dollars a year on FCC licenses and satellite equipment, right?
Right, right.
So it doesn't take that much money. It just takes money just to hire people and just to get the job done.
Yeah.
And so the distribution, Facebook's paying all our distribution costs.
Ooh. Yeah,
so,
that's right.
So we don't have to do any of that
until they figure out what you're doing.
But we still need people. Yeah, we still need people who are working really hard at their jobs that can fund these efforts and that can invest in legislation and whatever print resources or signage or the plane tickets for pastors to come out. And so we've budgeted for the year, this year, $250,000, and we're going to build a new studio, buy new cameras. We're going to create a website that unites all the churches with all the resources
and
content.
A network. You guys are building a network for people, right?
Say that again?
You guys are building a network for people to engage each other with. So, like, if you're across the country and you see another church doing it, say, hey, what are you guys doing, right?
Right. They can just go to endabortionnow.com, and everything will be there.
Right. Mm-hmm. Localized. One place. I love it.
Right. So it's like a beacon that people can unite behind and that everybody's on the same page. Everyone's getting the same information, and we can work together. And so that for an example that Jeff brought up was when Oklahoma had the law that was going to end abortion completely that Tony Leringer was fighting against, nobody knew about it. And so we found out about it and we broadcasted it, and then people knew, but by that time it was too late.
Right.
But if
I remember
we have
that.
All the churches, but if we can have all the churches around the country know legislation is in effect for this state, legislation is in effect for this state,
right,
in
right.
advance, yeah. We have all the churches contacting the senators and stuff even before the legislation is written,
yeah.
From all over the country. So it's going to be able to apply pressure and stuff like that. So that's why we need the money. So as of right now, actually, I'm looking at the total. We've of the $125,000, we've raised $83,672.
Wow!
So that's in 5 days.
Wow!
Wow!
So, that's unbelievable.
So, wow! Praise God.
I don't know if we'll still be raising money when this show comes out. Hopefully not. But you can check out endabortionnow.com and find out what the total is that we need.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
It's that time where you can go to endabortionnow.com and pay your offerings there. We just want to thank you for listening to Cross Politic. Our special guest, King Ginger from Apologia Radio, doing some great things over there for the Lord at Apologia Radio. Yes, yes, yes. Be sure to go to Endabortion Now. You can help end abortion by running your business well.
That's right.
And pay your tithes at endabortionnow.com. Don't forget to go over to Cross Politic. Buy a few t-shirts. We don't mind.
A little coffee, a couple mugs.
Some coffee, you know.
Some mugs for that coffee.
Hey, you got a nice shirt on right now.
I do.
Hey, representing.
And also, don't forget to like us on Facebook. Share us. Share us is money for us.
Amen.
And email us, memo@crosspolitic.com.
Until next week. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Go fight, laugh, and feast. Amen, amen, amen.